Hey, good people. Welcome back. And thanks for joining me, Pam Booker, host of Where's Your Tree? A podcast series dedicated to liberating storytelling and conversations on green topics, social change, and sustainable living. Happy holidays to everyone and welcome to my last podcast of the year as we welcome the December new moon, a little Kwanzaa, a little Christmas, Hanukkah, Boxing Day, and of course, the winter solstice. Yes, that's a version of O Tannenbaum known as O Christmas Tree in the background. One of the few traditional holiday musics that I absolutely love. Mostly because it reminds me of a Charlie Brown Christmas animated feature and honors the beauty of the evergreen tree. Religious symbolism and the extremes of holiday consumerism aside, these trees are simply one of Mother Nature's finest, most robust creations. The difference between evergreen trees and the shrubs from other tree species is that they retain their foliage and remain green year-round. Now, of course, there are as many different varieties of evergreens as there are needles that populate their physiques. The most popular among them are pines, of course, and spruce, firs, cypress, and cedar. And the list goes on, showcasing them as among the planet's most recognizable and beloved trees. It's also the tree that a treasured animated character named Charlie Brown finds himself in deep six trouble over when he selected a skimpy, teeny, weeny little pine tree to represent his neighborhood with in a contest. And, well, you know that decision didn't bode well for poor Charlie, marked forever as the Imperial Blockhead. A Charlie Brown Christmas was also one of the television events that I looked forward to with glee annually when I was growing up. Who am I kidding? I still cherish the story. Yep, I'm complicated, just like many of you. And every now and then, I admit to something that leaves you grinning and shaking your head in agreement. Ah, yes, the contradictions and intersections of our best human selves, wholly committed to imparting some joy in the world, even when oddly sourced. Nevertheless, there are qualities of hope, a touch of faith that we're all drawn to, regardless of what you celebrate or not. Urgently so, I think now, during a time in this country's modern history that needs equally robust surges of light and accountability. Later, I'll share excerpts from an essay that was published a few years ago titled Symmetry in the Charlie Brown Christmas that explores our relationship to family, friendship, and my favorite blockhead. For me, the transition from fall into the winter solstice is a space of promissory note, a gift of a new set of 12 calendar months that encourages the creative visioning and goals that we aspire to and the incremental steps that are necessary for the measurable change that we seek. It's also a time where I take stock of what I desire to leave behind from the past year with the expectation of nurturing healthier personal and family relationships, being consistent with creative projects, along with more meaningful, generative ways of simply being and working in the world. 2019, well, it was especially amplified. It began with serious concerns for my mother's health that, with each passing month, delivered a new list of demands and crises that felt endless. Fortunately, her health is stable now. Slowly, she's come to terms with the shape shifting betrayals that aging and illness deliver. We all do at some point. She's also become a Jedi master, learning to fight the summons from the dark side while on the journey to reclaiming strength and fearlessness. Sorry, but I'm a bit of a Star Wars nerd, too. My point is, she was finally discharged from a nursing facility that became her temporary home following an arduous 8 months stay. A return to her actual house that occurred sometime around Labor Day weekend was a welcome relief and a joyful occasion. It also brought with it a new collection of often unpredictable, teeth-gnashing revelations informed by caregivers, their agencies, and of course, new demands that emerged from the bureaucratic elder healthcare assisted living industrial complex. Along the way, we also met some of the most compassionate, caring, and considerate folks who've provided information and services that helped move outcomes from bewildering moments of uncertainty, despair, and frustration to restorative ease and gladness. I'm learning that the path of caring for elders in our lives is not for the weak. And on a daily basis, I dig deep for the divine sourcing and courage within myself, even when I feel that I'm my only witness. I'm also getting all of my body parts to the gym on a regular basis and paying attention to the nutritional health markers that we know to be sustaining, if not vital, to giving of your emotional and physical self to another. As a caregiver, you really do have to be able to reach for your own oxygen mask first. Yet, somehow we make it through, Mom and I. We get over, we get by and by, we cry, give thanks for the laughter that restores breath and tenderness and just enough courage and might to face all of the unknowns that lie in wait. Well, next week or next month or maybe tomorrow morning. We also cherish assistance from the small team of ever-present, caring family, friends, and neighbors. To each of them, I offer my deepest, heartfelt thanks for their contributions, love, and especially their laughter. There are two valuable maxims among many shared with me over the years that I found to be especially meaningful this year and expect to actively rely on in the coming new year. The first offers that you're going to get old doing something, so you might as well do what you love. The other says you're only in a race with yourself. These bits of wisdom teach me that I am a co-creator of my journey, with its stops, the starts and finishes, the crashes and the perpetual relaunch, knowing that collectively it continues to grow, and so will I, in those incremental ways that I first spoke about. Next up, excerpts from Symmetry in the Charlie Brown Christmas. More than any other pop culture zeitgeist, the iconic Charlie Brown personality that distinguished author Charles Schulz's imagination was fundamentally responsible for the philosophical underpinnings of my adolescent development, intolerance, character, and humiliation, especially the humiliation part. A Charlie Brown Christmas animated feature was the one television event that I look forward to with glee annually. And like I said, I still cherish the story. And over the years, we'll catch a live broadcast when I can, but I also have a DVD version, and of course, streaming technology makes it available to me year-round. Now, I have to say I found a range of family characterizations between my sister and myself especially, when studying the metaphors that inform and shape the Charlie Brown mythos, and the story's archetypes. Growing up, I was the smart, awkwardly drawn, blackhead sibling. My sister was pretty, self-assured, and bossy, like Lucy. And she kind of still is. When contemplating the Schultz classic, I grapple with the story's ability to speak to me as an independent whole, and as well through acts of forgiveness and reconciliation. But first, I simply struggle with the wounds, in part because of what is appealing in friendships and recurring in family longing, the wounds and affection that each bond engenders have produced some of the weirdest behaviors over my lifetime. Much like Charles Schultz's posse of bodily drawn characters, as adults, we recycle ourselves twice a child, fraught with whirligig episodes of thumb-sucking while grabbing madly at the well-worn blanket to quell insecurities that are represented in Charlie Brown and his most agonizing squeals of angst and uncertainty, Lucy's inflation-steady therapy sessions, Schroeder's self-absorbed piano study, and Linus's philosopher's composure. Yet the character that cautions us most instructively to guard the care of the psycho-emotional and spiritual life is Pigpen. Some of you remember him. He was the dirty kid, puffs of soot circling him whenever he so much as opened his mouth, and every time he showed up in Brown's neighborhood. I see him as Charlie Brown's poor cousin and positioned as an alter ego. But he's also a cautionary reminder to the viewer of the shady, disorderly elements of suburban life, the contentment or the containment, depending on the gaze. Now, when Schultz initially drew this character in the aftermath of World War II, he symbolized the Eisenhower-era newsy boy that hawked papers and mowed lawns for extra money. He was honest, thrifty, upright, white, all-American. In the new millennium, he's the street smart kid who hustles whatever he can to support his family. He's no longer necessarily a white suburban kid, though, but he's still tethered to another kind of post-war American ethos, which now appears as fantastical and naive as Schultz's original series. Instead, he's a threatening motif, the immigrant child of Mexican, Chinese, or Islamic parents, or an African-American child whose character is framed as undermining to American values, lesser valued. Now, to my observation, these figures are all symbolic of Pigpen's tattered abandon. The clouds of dusty soot that follow them personify the down and dirty deities that I think reside in each of us. In my adolescent wonder, at the end of Charlie Brown's animated tale, I was always delighted by the renewal that the little Christmas tree that could, that little evergreen tree, magically delivered by transforming from its neglected skimpiness into a figure of thick, sprawling branches and glistening trimmings. Oh, well, but that was a televised fable, a masterful allegory, a sweet candy cane parable informed by the Gospels. Somehow, even as a child, I knew that the chorus of voices that heralded the coming of a baby savior, a new bike, and skates would never satisfactorily answer the questions that sprinted through me after watching the holiday feature cartoon. Charlie Brown's imperfect tree resides in my memory, though, as a potent touchstone for the retrieval of an interdependent being that is universally whole and indispensable. It also becomes the derivative of a vital system that is implicit in the sacred. to shift my gaze and thereby alter the patterns of the disruption necessitates that I navigate the hurts and the discomforts in my life. Within these parameters, I've learned to humbly embrace intention, meaning, compassion, and form. In astonishing moments, they become expressions of a fully actualized life. Wishing you astonishing moments in the new year ahead. Thanks again for joining me on another episode of Where's Your Tree? I'm Pam Booker. You can download and read the complete essay, Symmetry in the Charlie Brown Christmas, on my website, wheresyourtree.com. You can also find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or drop a line to Pamela at wheresyourtree.com. Thank you, everyone, for your support over the course of these past several months and episodes. Please continue to subscribe, say hey, and share the podcast with your friends. Expect to hear more from me in 2020. Until the next time, be still, stand in love, pay attention. Ciao.